Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want you to worship the Lord now. Thank God for all those who gave their life so we could have the freedom to worship our God and King. Every day for a Christian should be a communion day, not actual tokens, but fellowship with God. Every day should be Thanksgiving. No, don't get a turkey every day and pumpkin pie every day. But every day should be a day of giving thanks unto the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Thank Him for His Son. Thank Him for our Savior. Thank Him for His sacrifice. Interact with Him every day. Keep your heart from taking for granted what He's given us in Jesus Christ. For we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. Praise God. Hallelujah. That in everything, Jesus Christ Himself would have the preeminence. The Bible said, how many has ever heard the term Maranatha? Come, Lord Jesus. Well, it's married to another word, and that word is anathema. And it talks about the coming of the Lord to judge the earth. And it said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The strongest consternation and curse of God upon him. Let him be anathema. Maranatha. You can't get away from the fact that He's coming for His people, but He's also coming to judge the world. Amen. And when you put it in context, you don't get an imbalance. The imbalance is God's just going to look over all sin and sinners, and whether you get saved or not, it'll all work out. God is all loving. He would never do this. He'll never do that. The Bible said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, it's not how devotedly you love Him. It's the fact that if you're truly a Christian, Jesus has a place in your life and your heart that no one else can have. Amen. He sits upon the throne of your heart. He's your Lord and Savior. He's your King. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And if any man does not esteem Him, they don't know Him. They've never known Him. You understand what I'm telling you today? Yeah. This is not something you can play with at church. Amen. And play the church game and just go ahead and go to church and then go out into the world and live in sin, unconfessed sin. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Amen. Because the wrath of God abides. It never lets up upon the children of disobedience. The justifiable anger of God. And yet He so loved us that while we were yet sinners under His justifiable anger, His wrath, He gave His Son to save us. And that's why the Bible said, how shall we escape? What? Anathema. If we neglect such a great salvation as this, there will be no excuse, because He made a way for us to be forgiven our sin and to be saved. And to the world, if you love not the Lord Jesus, and believe me, they don't love the Lord Jesus. And there are people in churches that don't love the Lord Jesus. They just go to church. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about esteeming Him, that in all things in your life as a Christian, Christ has the preeminence. Yeah. Not your religion, but your relationship with God. Yeah. And the sovereign and Savior that came and gave His life for you. Amen. If you don't have that, you're anathema, sitting right in a church house, embracing a dead religious system. And a religious system without Jesus is a dead religious system. They're married together. You can't just be a Maranatha Christian, even so come, Lord Jesus, and not understand that before that word is used in Scripture, anathema is used.
Yes, sir.
If any man, am I saying this correctly?
Amen.
If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
let him be anathema. Maranatha. They're married. You can't separate the two words. You can't just preach grace and never preach judgment. It's an imbalance. Every person without Jesus deserves to know the consequences of being without Jesus. They need to hear it from the pulpit. It's not going to be a happy service. It's not going to be just a, oh, joy, 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 love, love, love service. It'll be a service where there's conviction.
Amen.
That's an uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
I call the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad he didn't give up on me. Because I ran from him.
Amen.
I literally ran from. I would be coming home after a shift at work, be under conviction. I would find the heaviest metal rock and roll channel I could on my radio, and I'd turn it up as high as I could turn it up to get my mind off the fact that I was lost and in need of a Savior.
Yeah.
One of those times on the way home, I was coming off of Benzedrine to help me pull a piece count and get a bonus at my job. About 3 o'clock in the morning, shift is over. I'm coming home and I know I'm so hyped up with Bennies. These are uppers that we bought from the truck drivers that came in to the plant. And I knew I can't go to sleep when I get home. So under my seat in a 59 Plymouth, I'm dating myself here, 59 Plymouth. It was probably in the 60s, but I couldn't afford that car. I had to get one that had some time on it. Under my seat was a bottle of Southern Comfort whiskey. I kept a half pint of Southern Comfort whiskey under my seat. Oh, Brother Venable, you're goody two shoes. You never did anything like that, honey. I'm well versed in sinning.
Amen.
How many were lost before you got saved? You actually were lost before you got saved? You didn't just born and went to church and somehow evolved into Christianity? No, you were lost. You had to be convicted of your sin.
Amen.
You had to come to Christ to have your sin forgiven.
Amen.
There are people that don't even mention sin, and they're proud of it. And they literally have said, I don't talk about sin. One pastor was asked about heaven. And he said, well, you know, I've never really studied heaven or hell. I thought you're behind the pulpit and you can't tell people what heaven's going to be like for the people that are headed there. You're behind the pulpit and you got a television camera on you. You got thousands of people listening to you. You can't tell people that there is a hell and how long you're going to be there and what it's going to be like. Biblically, scripturally, because you just never studied that. You see, that's the problem with the earthbound church as opposed to the heavenbound church.
Amen.
Well, tell you something this morning. I guess you're figuring it out pretty quick. You're in a heavenbound church.
Amen.
I'm not interested in telling you how to get more like the world. I'm only interested in telling you to get more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not here to tell you how to be successful in your goals and to reach your goals when everything's about you and it's about here and it's about now and it's about satisfying every lust of your flesh. I'm here to tell you, if Jesus doesn't have a place of preeminence in your life, you do not love him.
Come on.
He has no expectation of the lost to love him. The earthbound church today cares little for the cross and less for Christ. The earthbound church, and I'm sorry that it's a church. He has no expectation of the world loving him. Not until they come to him. He loves them freely, for God so loved the world, he gave his Son. But when we accept that gift, he expects a place of preeminence in our life and in our heart. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in the context of God coming to judge. God coming to judge. The governor had Paul in prison. He was used to people in prison paying him a bribe to let them out. He called for Paul, the apostle, and just to get Paul to come, he was going to play the game. I'll ask about the Christian faith. And he'll probably have used that opportunity to offer me a bribe to get out of jail. So he asked for Paul to come, and he said, I want to hear about the faith, the Christian faith. And Paul preached to him. Amen. And I found out what Paul preached. I didn't read Paul's sermon. It's not in the Bible. But I read three things that Felix was experiencing when he heard the message. The Bible said, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Nobody wants to hear about judgment, but everybody needs to know there's a judgment to come. There's a judgment to come. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord, when he comes to judge. The Jesus that's coming back is not the Jesus that rode into Jerusalem on the way to the cross. Oh, he's the same person, but there's a difference. He was crucified. He laid himself down. He became the Lamb of God. He went into the tomb, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice lamb. But he came out of the tomb as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. John heard a voice in the book of Revelation, and it was like a trumpet blast. It was like Niagara Falls forced mighty waters. He said, I turned to see this person that's speaking with such power and authority so forcefully. And he turned and he said, I saw someone. His hair was white as wool. Everybody say, judge. If you're into the British, any of the British channels, you'll see them put on a white wig. It represents judgment. Yes. He's coming to judge. He's not coming to save. The second time. I said, he's not coming the second time to save. He's coming to judge. Amen. He said his eyes, when I think of Jesus' eyes, I think of the kindest, loving eyes. And he is the kindest, loving expression of God's grace and mercy you will ever find. But because he has been rejected, and that love has been literally trampled underfoot, he's not coming to save anybody in that coming. Amen. The Bible said when he comes, every eye will see him. Yes. Not just Christians, but every eye will see him. And the world, the anathema world, will mourn because of him. Right. Because they'll know the jig is up. I've blasphemed his name. I've laughed in his face. I've been stubborn and self-willed. I did my own thing. I didn't care that he died for me. I've given in to every whim of the devil in my flesh. And when he comes, this Jesus that's coming back, he's not coming on a donkey. He's coming on a white horse, symbolizing absolute and complete authority and victory. And there's a name written on his thigh. Anybody know what it is? King of kings and Lord of lords. Remember when John the Baptist was baptizing in water, and some of the Jewish legalists, so-called religionists, Pharisees, Sadducees, came down and said, "By what authority are you doing this, John the Baptist?" He said, "Who hath warned you? Who hath warned you? Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" Everybody say, "Anathema Maranatha." You see how they're married? Who hath borne you to do what? Flee what's coming. It's been a long time coming, church, but it's coming. And the Bible said once things are set in motion prophetically, it's coming very quickly. And if the day of the Lord is coming, then Jesus is coming very soon. Because the day of the Lord is when the wrath of God is poured out, the anathema. And the Bible said if you're a Christian, true Christian, really born again, the Bible said that that day would not come on you as a thief. Because you're not a child of the darkness. They're oblivious to that fact. They're not shaken by it. It doesn't bother them unless God opens their eyes to see it. They can't see it. They don't care. They don't fear the Lord. The Bible said there's no fear of the Lord before their eyes. They're blindly accelerating toward hell. Hell? You mean there is one? You can't have a heaven without a hell. You can't have a Maranatha without an anathema. You can't have a Savior without a judgment.
Amen.
Who hath warned you to flee the judgment to come? Every person in this room will answer to God.
Yes. Amen.
But there's a way to stand before Him perfectly forgiven. Amen. And perfectly saved.
Hallelujah.
And that's to repent of your sin, receive Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And if you do, you'll be born again. You say, "I don't know if I could love God like that." Listen, if you come to Christ and you're born again, He does a number on your heart.
Amen.
My wife had open heart surgery. They split her open, they cracked her rib cage, pulled it open, and went in there and took some veins out of her legs and replaced three clogged ones, almost 90%. Amen. She's a candidate for a heart attack. They went in and they bypassed those and those other veins. And now this is how many years ago, and she's like a Timex. Took a licking and kept on ticking.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. The first heart transplant that ever took place, most people don't survive it very long if they get one. But the first one took place in Africa. A team, and I don't know what background those doctors were, but they took a heart and took out the old heart that was so damaged the person couldn't live, and they put in a new functioning heart. And if the body doesn't reject it and there's no infection, you take pills to keep it from being rejected all the rest of your life, you can survive a long time with a brand new heart. What's supposed to happen when you get saved is not just get religion, but to get a heart transplant.
Amen.
As it is written, says the Lord, I'll go in there spiritually. I'll take out the heart of stone. How many know before you came to Christ you had a hard heart? Stubborn heart. Let me tell you what kind of heart you had. Would you like me to tell you? I'm going to anyway. Just help me and you can get it over with quickly this morning.
Amen.
The heart of man, before there's a change, is desperately wicked.
Amen.
And deceitful. Yeah. Above all things. Who can know it?
Amen.
Well, the person with that heart, they don't see that. They don't see that. God sees it. So he says, when you come to me, the first thing I'm going to change is your heart.
Yeah.
I will take out that heart of stone and I'll replace it with a heart of flesh. Instead of a stubborn, self-willed, belligerent, God-rejecting heart, you have a heart to receive Christ. You have a heart to follow God. You have a heart for God. You have a heart for prayer. You have a heart for worship. You may, you know, get so used to it after a while that you don't keep it consistently, but you have a heart for it.
Amen.
You have a heart for it. You wouldn't be here today. We're not giving prizes for coming to church.
Amen.
One church gave prizes to get people to come. They had a money from 2.5 of where we used to be years ago for so long. They had a money tree. Everybody, every Sunday, they came, they had this artificial tree, like a Christmas tree, and everybody pinned dollar bills on it every Sunday. So every time people came, they saw more money accumulating on the dollar tree. Oh, I wish I had a tree that... I want a $20 tree. If I'm going to have a dollar tree, I want a $20 tree. Anyway, that was back when a dollar went a lot further. Dollars worth of gas, 3 gallon. I had to sell a kidney. I'm still sore just to get to church. Anyway, moving right along. God is good today. I'm glad to be a Maranatha Christian. I'm glad I'm anticipating the soon coming of Jesus. You know why? Them that look. And that's going to separate the anathema people from the Maranatha people. To them that look for him. Who's looking for him? People that are really into prophecy, really understand how close we are. No, it's people initially who are longing for him. People who love the Lord Jesus can't wait for him to come back for us. Because we collectively become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is what? Scripture. He is the bridegroom. And the book of Revelation said the bride hath made herself ready. Hallelujah. And it was granted unto her that she be clothed in white raiment, clean and white. A perfect bride for a perfect groom. Praise God. He's cleansing his church right now. Anathema people in the church are not going to keep going to church. That's why the falling away is occurring. If you don't have a heart for God, you're going to have to endure this service. Except for my little jokes. My jokes are pretty good. Somebody give me a fist bump. Jokes are fair, right? All right. Praise God. But here's something that's no joke that tears my heart apart. That anathema and Maranatha are married. They're not separate in Scripture. And you can't say, even so, come Lord Jesus, just to go to heaven. It's a longing for him. It's a longing for him. Because we love him. If any man love not, you see, you can go to church without loving Jesus. You can practice some religion without loving Jesus. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. Will you be sinlessly perfect? No, but you'll want to please him. And you will seek to obey him. And sometimes you will falter. And sometimes you will fail. But you will not quit. And just become a disobedient person.
Amen.
Living in sin without conviction and without confessing that sin. If any man love not, when he comes to judge with 10,000 of his saints, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Why are they married in heaven? All of the martyrs that We're just asking people to live your life for him, not give your life for him like the martyrs did. And there are people that don't even want to live their life for him. But there are people that are asked and expected to lay down their life to keep the faith. There's a church in the book of, is it Thyatira? Church in the book, we'll have to get Jimmy on this anyway. There's a church in the book of Revelation. And he said, I know where you live, where Satan's seat is. Where Satan's headquarters is. You're living in that kind of condition where he is influencing so powerfully. Some of you are going to be persecuted for your faith to the degree that some of you are going to be put into prison. And some of you are going to be killed for your faith. What is his message to them? Do you want to hear the message? It's important you hear what he had for them. Did he tell them, listen, you're going to get rich. You're going to never have a problem. It'll never cost you anything for this precious gift of salvation. You can still be the old you without this heart transplant. But I'm going to tell you, that other heart's going to fail you.
Yes, sir.
It's going to lead you into sin that you can't get yourself out of. The Sunday school teacher, when I first got saved, our Sunday school teacher, his wife left him. He got depressed. He was 30-something years old. He went out with his buddies drinking. Somewhere down Highway 60, there's a bar somewhere out on Highway 60 between here and Mulberry. And they drank. He didn't look to God and get what he needed from the Lord. Don't know if he was truly saved, but he was teaching Sunday school, and that's not an aberration. That occurs all the time. You can play church. You can put on all of the things and say the words and sing the songs and be anathema.
Amen.
And somebody needs to confront you and say, I love you enough that I want you to know that in this church, this is a heaven-bound church. This is not an earth-bound church. This is a church that believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father except by him. If you want polytheism, the worship of many gods, you can't find it in the Christian life. No man comes to the Father, he said, except by me. And no man comes to me except my Father draw him. You will not get saved when you are old, too old to party. And you're sitting in your rocking chair. And you've had all your fun and let your flesh consume everything it desires. You won't come to God when you are good and ready. Because you can't come to God unless he calls you. And when he calls you, you have to respond to that call.
Yes.
You can't deal with God on your terms. When I'm done with my sinning, I got my pet sin and I'm not ready to give it up. Let me tell you something this morning. There's no sin that you have that is worth what it's going to cost you if you won't give it up.
Amen.
And let God forgive it and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Venable, that's why you don't have sin. That's exactly why. And that is the problem. People are looking for somebody to tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to know.
Amen.
Every sinner has a right to know the consequence of not repenting of that sin.
Amen.
And their churches will accommodate you. They'll be glad to have you. You will not be convicted. You will not feel any pressure. I can't save you, but I can tell you the truth and depend on the Spirit.
Yes, amen.
To call you,
yes.
To draw you. I ran from it. So I'm on my way home. I turned the music up. Every time I got by myself, I thought, I need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. So I turn my radio up. So I'm almost back to Plant City from Tampa. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. The Benzedrine is still got me hopped up. But I got my Southern Comfort under my seat. So I'm sipping my whiskey. Why Southern Comfort? I tried 2 or 3 other brands and they burn too much. Now don't go out and buy no Southern Comfort, but I'm going to tell you that was some smooth whiskey. You could. When I was a sinner, I enjoyed my sin. Oh, you didn't enjoy your sin. No, sin was so awful. It was so awful, Brother Venable. No, it wasn't, or you wouldn't have did it. It felt good to your flesh, or you wouldn't have went after it. Moses, when he came to years, chose to identify with the slaves in Egypt rather than to inherit Egypt. The son of Pharaoh's daughter, raised by a Hebrew mother, and he had been taught there's a judgment coming one day. We may be slaves here in Egypt, but there's a day when they're going to answer to God.
Amen.
And the Bible said he made a choice.
Yes,
when he came to years, he chose not to accept the riches of Egypt, but to endure affliction with the righteous.
Yes,
what kind of a choice is that? What's the choice today? You don't endure affliction. You don't sacrifice anything. You just get wealth and you get wealthy. You get prominent. You get everything your heart could desire, and you party with the world and identify with the world.
Yeah.
And that's churches and that's doctrine. Maranatha. And the strongest judgment of God married together. There are people in church that are on their way to hell, practicing a religion that doesn't lead them to Christ, that are on their way to hell. Brother Venable, all roads lead to God.
No, sir.
Same God. No, it is not.
Sir.
No, it is not. You got a Bible? Anybody got a Bible?
Yeah.
If it's a book of fables, if it's not God's word, throw it in the trash. Forget about it. And just pick your religion. Just pick the one that suits you. One that lets you sin all you can sin and guarantees you heaven. That's not in the Bible. Pick your religion. You can pick it now. You can get a designer religion if you want what the world is after. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There are Christian denominations and organizations that will accommodate you and tell you you're going to heaven. They're lying to you.
Amen.
And you need to hear the truth.
Amen.
The Bible said in the last days, and we're in them, listen and hear it clearly. And I'm making no excuses for my poor ability to get a crowd together. Wherever I fail, I fail. But that's not what I'm not after, getting a crowd together. I'm after seeing people go to heaven, because I've been in too many hospital rooms with people on their way to hell. And I don't like to be in a room with somebody that don't know Jesus when they're breathing their last breath. It's a terrifying experience.
Amen.
But I've experienced it. Brother Taylor, I was called to go to the hospital church. A lady in our church, her son was doing drugs. He got hepatitis through dirty needles of the liver. They were treating him. He didn't qualify for a liver transplant. So I went to pray for him and with him. Number one, to come to Christ. Number two, that they could fix him with God's help or God's miracle. As I approached the door, his friends that he's hanging out with, He told them, don't let no preacher come in and see me. I don't want to see no preacher. And see, you can do the same thing. You can say, I ain't going back to church. I don't go to church. I don't care about God, Jesus. I don't want to hear about no judgment. Well, I didn't either. I fully understand. But thank God I did hear about it.
Amen.
And thank God the hound of heaven, the mighty, wonderful, powerful, personal Holy Spirit, kept chasing me down. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. When he did not allow my life to just go smooth, but he put obstacles in the way to get my attention to the need for my soul to be saved. Hallelujah. They told me he don't want to see no preacher, and I called the lady back. I said, I'm sorry, I never push my way. I never push my ministry on anyone. You have to want this to come. You too. Amen. And if you don't want it, guess what? There's a church close to here. I guarantee you, without even knowing the doctrine, there's one real close to here that'll be glad to have you. And you won't feel uneasy like you're feeling right now.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it's only Maranatha. There's no anathema. And yet in the Bible, you can't have Jesus as your Savior without Jesus as your judge. John said, I saw a man like no man I've ever seen. His hair was white as wool. His eyes were as a flame of fire. This is not Superman stuff. Not X-ray vision. He can look right into your heart. Of course he can do that. But that's not what he saw. He didn't see a man with X-ray vision that knew our hearts. He see a man that is coming to judge those hearts that have refused him.
Amen.
And the heart becomes hard. It's already hard. Now it's made harder and harder. In the Old Testament, it describes it. It said, he sent his prophets, they closed their ears. They pulled away the shoulder. And their heart became hard as an adamant stone, as a diamond. It takes a diamond to cut a diamond. That's how hard it is.
Yeah.
And the sin-hardened heart if conviction comes, don't just blow it off.
Amen.
That's why I'm so glad that he didn't give up on me, because I was blowing it off. But thank God, my heart had not hardened to the degree that I couldn't feel it. The devil wanted to hold me so bad. I was on my way home from church. Not church, oh Lord. On my way home from work, sipping Southern Comfort. It's in the winter time. My heater was on. My radio was blaring. I got 2 blocks until I'm home. Lived in an apartment over my grandmother's house with my wife, Pamela. Somewhere on this little 4-lane going into Plant City, I fell asleep at the wheel. I hit a power pole, caught the right left front fender, bent it into the radiator, and steam just came up out of the radiator. Cut that front tire off of the wheel. Now I got a wheel, steam coming off the radiator, and I floorboarded it, because I said, I'm 2 blocks from where I can pull it in the yard, because if the popo comes, if the popo, and he will come, I've got whiskey on my breath and a whiskey bottle under my seat, and I'm not going home this morning. I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
So I drove into the yard, and I was oblivious to the fact that my grandmother woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning with a visitor that came to visit her, her aunt, And she said, not to disturb her, I went out of the bedroom and into the bathroom. And the Lord said, pray for Bobby now. While I was having that incident and that accident, my grandmother was praying and interceding for me. Thank God for a praying mama. I didn't have one till I went her to the Lord. Hallelujah. And a praying grandma. Anybody have a praying person in your life? Husband, wife, grandpa, you had a grandma that prayed for you, man. Oh, yeah, Sean, you got a whole legacy of people praying for you. You still need prayer, but you know, we're all praying for you now.
Amen.
And I love you, brother. And I need prayer. So let's pray for one another. Amen. What do you say? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad somebody prayed for me. And it wasn't over. My daddy prayed for me. Hallelujah. His pastor called him. He had stomach problems all his life. I mean, he should have had an investment in Tums. He took acids like eating candy. He drank it. He took it tablets. He always had that stomach problem. And my pastor at that time, he wasn't my pastor yet, he was going to be my dad's pastor, called him up and he said, Bob, God told me to call you to agree with you in prayer. Whatever you need right now, God's ready to provide. And my dad told me this afterward. He said, I thought, I want healing for my stomach. Then he stopped. He said, I stopped. He said, no, no. No, my son is still not saved, and I want him to come to know Christ. Yeah. Oh, thank God for my grandma interceding. Thank God for my dad and what was to become my pastor, his pastor, praying for my salvation, putting a premium on where I spend eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. And after that accident, and Dad had prayed that prayer, she has interceded, and God had my attention. He had my attention. I went back to work, borrowed a car, went back to work, driving home the next night. And the Lord, because of this intercession and His love for my soul, He spoke to me. No audible voice, but if my heart has ever heard God, I heard Him that night. He spoke forcefully and powerfully because I needed a wake-up call. I was raised in church. But I was holding out to surrender. My heart was beginning to harden. He said, Bobby, He knows your name. He knows my name. He said, if you go off the road tonight, if you do not want me, and you go off the road tonight, you're on your own. That hit me like a sledgehammer, because I always planned someday I'm going to get right with God. You know how that works. When I'm done sinning, I'm not through yet. Oh, don't tell me sin isn't fun to the flesh. But it has consequences. It has consequences. It has consequences. I'm so glad He loved me that much to tell me the truth about my condition. And it hit me. And I thought, Lord, oh, and God ganged up on me on top of that. Because when I got home on that other night, my wife, the light is on, and I'm dying for a cigarette. I love my cigarettes. I had the flu and smoked my coffin nails. Coffin nails. That's right. Amen. I did. And I went in, I thought, the light's on. It's wee hours. What's the light doing on? She's sleeping, snoring probably. I won't wake her up. But she was up, And she was wide awake. Banjo eyes, wide awake. I said, "What's going on? What's happening?" She said, "I was watching a movie called King of Kings or something. Some actor, he was a pretty campy actor. And he just, you know, he said the words of Jesus. You can be a campy actor. You don't have to be a great preacher. The word has power."
Oh, yeah.
And she was hearing the word because she was watching the movie, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and hearing the words, "On the way, the truth, and the life." And she got down on her knees by the couch and gave her heart to the Lord. Now, I'm getting a message. You've saved my wife. You've kept me from being destroyed. You're calling me. I got on the phone to my daddy and I said, "Dad, it wasn't Sunday." I said, "Is there anywhere having church tomorrow night? Because it would be morning soon. That I need to get in church. I needed something to help me. The devil had me so tight. I needed to get somewhere where God's word was being preached and the Spirit of God was moving. There's power in the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. And I was under the yoke of bondage, but I wasn't blind anymore. I knew it." He said, "The only place I know is Church of God camp meeting in Waimama. They have a service every night." I said, "Would you come and get me and take me to church?" Couldn't wait to get in church. Oh, it changes when you can't wait to get there instead of you can't wait to get out. Can you say amen? Everything changes. I wanted salvation. I wanted a Savior. I wanted Him. I needed Him. And God was drawing me to Him. The Father was drawing me. The Holy Spirit was drawing me. I got in that meeting. And oh, the power of God came down that night. There was tongues way in the back of this building of several hundred people. And there was an interpretation with no microphone. And it sounded like it was on a microphone. It sounded like it was in quadraphonic. That's four speakers. Amen. Not just stereo. Quadraphonic. I remember when we had quadraphonic albums. It didn't work all that well, but anyway. Now we got 7.1, 8.3, whatever, two subwoofers. Anyway, God had His sound system hooked up to me, and I was getting the message. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And that, I don't know what the preacher preached. I know it was good. I knew that stuff, but I wasn't responding to it. And I sat there and I thought, I just want the altar call. I know the message. I know what I'm into. I was raised in church. I haven't responded. Just get to the altar call, man. I want to get down there and get right while my heart's still beating and while my heart is still soft enough to respond to the call. He made the altar call. People came to the altar. And it was like a force. If you think the devil won't fight you on getting saved, he'll fight you tooth and toenail. He will fight that. He will give you every excuse. He will try to blind you from your true condition of lostness. But listen, when the scales fall off of your eyes, even though it's like I was frozen, like a power was keeping me, and it wasn't my will. There was an overwhelming force. I felt like a force field was on me. I couldn't move. And I prayed in desperation. I said, "Jesus, help me." And that heart that had started getting hard, it suddenly become like what my dad used to call nervous pudding. You know what that is? That's Jell-O. Hallelujah. I was a sinner in need of a Savior. Everybody say nervous pudding so you get something out of this service. Glory. You'll never look at Jell-O the same. Hallelujah. You'll be in some nice restaurant. They'll have Jell-O for dessert. You'll say, could you bring me some of that nervous pudding? Let's say, get on out here back up to Georgia. Anyway, moving right along. Alabama. Mississippi. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the name of Jesus. There's power in it. I didn't know how powerful it was till I cried out, Jesus, help me. Help me come to you. And brother, sister, it broke over me. I'll tell you, you want to get right with God? You in your heart decide you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. You won't have to be held some carrot in front of the donkey, some trinket of this world. You won't need promising the riches of the world. You'll know what true riches are, knowing your soul is saved, your sins are forgiven. You don't have to fear the wrath to come. Your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life, and you're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I did not walk to the altar. I ran to the altar. I fell on my knees at the altar. You see, the earthbound church doesn't have an altar, doesn't care about an altar. You'll see thousands of people in the building, but it's as if they're all Maranatha. There's no anathema.
Amen.
There's no judgment, no fear of the wrath to come. No one in an altar. No one getting saved. They pray. If you don't know Jesus, just say this when we're done. Oh, now you're a Christian. Bye-bye. We'll never talk about sin. Never talk about heaven. Never talk about Him. Except what He can do for you.
Yeah.
Not what He's done for you.
Amen.
Oh, it was good to be saved.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
People came around me, prayed with me. When I got up from that altar, a heart of stone beginning to harden against God became a heart of flesh. And I began to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still growing in my devotion, deepening my love, but I loved Him that night, I love Him now, and I want to love Him better. But He has a place in my heart that no one and nothing can take the place of.
Amen.
That's what it means to love Him.
Amen.
In all things Christ, having what? The preeminence.
Right.
Praise God. When He does, the world doesn't have the preeminence.
Amen.
When He does, there's no person more important than Him. I love my wife. I'd die for her right now. I'd kill you for her. Amen. Give me fish bump. I love my wife. Amen. Pastor, be packing. Give me. You can't see it. Call my posse on you. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd lay down my life. I would lay down my life for my wife. I'd take the bullet. I'd say, you got to go through me. And they'd go through me like they used to. But anyway, they didn't kill me. But I'd lay down my life for her. But if she decided, I'm going to leave you, if you keep preaching, you keep going to church, you keep following Jesus, I'm going to be like that guy that loved fishing so much. Saw the bumper sticker on his big truck. Everybody say, O-L-E, big old pickup truck. And it said, my wife says, if I keep going fishing, she's going to leave me. Boy, I'm going to miss her. I would miss Pamela. It would tear my heart out. We've been married 63 years. You kind of get close to somebody. But if she asked me to give up Christ and what He's done for me, there's no contest. She's not on that level of my devotion. And yet I would die for her, but she's not on that level of my devotion. Because my soul was saved by someone willing to take my place on that cross. Hallelujah. And there's not a sin that's worth the peace that I have. I've sinned. Brother Venable, what all did you do when you were a sinner? None of your beeswax. Amen. None of your business. Oh, are you afraid to confess? No, I'm just going to tell you that if you got some sin in your life, I've probably been where you are because I've lived through that stage of my life. Are you sinless? No. Are you sinful? No. Are you sinlessly perfect? No. Does sin reign? No. You know why sin doesn't reign? Because Satan doesn't rule. Jesus is my King. He is the Lord of my life. And to them that look, the earthbound church, you hear an eschatology. You won't hear a message about the second coming of Jesus or the judgment to come. All you hear is what God will do for you right here, right now, in the immediate sense. And that's why Moses said he chose to suffer affliction with the righteous that have a covenant with God through the blood of the animals, had a covenant with God. Rather, hear it well, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Life is short. Amen. Eternity is forever. So you have to choose the pleasure of sin for a season or have your sins forgiven. Oh, then I can't do that. Here's the good news. No, you can't do it because you won't need to do it to be fulfilled anymore. Amen. You won't want to do it when you get a new heart. Your flesh will still be weak, but the devil will come in other ways. He'll use pride. He'll use fear. He'll use all kind of other things. Just being accepted by your peers. What a joy it was. What a relief to come to Jesus. To know Jesus. To have my sins forgiven. And have a promise that now, as a Christian, you are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. I didn't give you the scripture, and it's time to quit. We don't have a quitting time, but don't be afraid. I'm going to quit anyway. I'm going to quit anyway. We have one song. Colossians 3, say it. If you're a Christian, listen to what it says. 1, 2, and 5. If you be risen with Christ, when did that occur? When you come to Jesus, you are buried with Him, and you are raised with Him. You hath He quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So if you've been raised with Him, the same Spirit of Him that raised Him up is now come to indwell you. You don't have to do this on your own. The Holy Spirit comes within you. Praise God. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above. And before you just see the heavenly city, the streets of gold, and all the stuff that heaven offers you, seek those things above. Listen to the person where Christ sits on the right hand of God. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, when you get saved, He has a predominant, preeminent place in your heart. Did you ever sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus"? Amen. Sunday school kids can sing that and probably mean it more than most church people that have been in church for years. But when you really fall in love with Jesus, because you have a heart for Him now that you never had before, That's why when demons were cast out and Jesus said, "Listen," and the disciples said, "We rebuke them for in your name casting out demons." He said, "Let them alone." He said, "No man that more or less is on our side," amen, "can speak lightly of me." Yeah. See that place in their heart. Yeah. that only Jesus can fulfill. Seek those things above. You have to get single-minded about it. The Old Covenant put it this way, the psalmist, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after. Amen. That I may know you in the beauty of holiness, that I may know you in the beauty of your character, your person, that I may know you. Hallelujah. Set your affections, set them on things above and not the things of the earth. The earthbound church, it's all about riches, wealth, perfect health, no problems, rising to the head of the company, becoming the star quarterback, becoming the soul singer, becoming the pop singer, the Nashville guitarist, becoming everything the world said is what you ought to be after. And they'll tell you God promised that if you'll accept Jesus. No, what he promised was that it can cost you possibly those things.
Amen.
But it'll be worth it.
Yes,
because when he comes, they're anathema. Every one of them. Not because he's mad at them, because he loved them and they wouldn't accept it. He gave his son. They stomp their foot and say, I want my sin. I don't want your son. I don't care that he bled. I don't care that he died. I'm hanging with my homies. By the way, while you're hanging with your homies, here's a scripture for you. If you're serious about God and your soul in heaven, here's a scripture for you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't think about where you put the napkin up here, put it down here, or which fork you use. Amen. You know what it says in the Greek? Let me tell you practically what it says. If you want to hang with your homies and they're not Christian, evil companionships corrupt good morals. You're either going to win them to Christ or you're going to be out riding with them when they do their dirty work. My Sunday school teacher, 30 years old, when I first became a Christian, family man, had a wife, kids, they're drinking, some bar hopping out on Highway 60 between Mulberry, Bartow, somewhere. 2 o'clock in the morning, they shut the bar down. They want more liquor. They find an all-night convenience store. Two guys with him, he's driving. He's half drunk, but he's driving. And they pull up outside this store and said, we're going to run in and get a case of beer. We're just going to party all night, not even going to bed. He's coming off a divorce. He's depressed, looking to the world for the answers, ready to compromise. So he's sitting in the car, okay? I'm just drinking. God understands I'm depressed. I'm just drinking. They go in and pull a weapon and rob the convenience store. They didn't shoot anybody. They robbed it with a weapon. There's an automatic sentence on that. You don't have to have a trial by jury. There's an automatic sentence. By virtue of being in the car driving as part of the whole thing, he is in jail. Not the citizen, but he's in jail. My Sunday school teacher is in jail. So when you think about who you're going to run with and who you're going to hang with, if you want to hang with your homies or you want to hang with Jesus. A Christian artist, singer, praise team guy used to be in a rock and roll band, opened up for the Rolling Stones, some of the hardest partying rock and rollers. They're still around. They look like zombies, but they're still around. Look like death warmed over. It's bad shape. How they make it? Because the devil's using them. He wants them to hang around. He wants you to think you can party all your life and someday, somewhere, you can come to Christ. But anyway, He said, what got me was when I gave up that life. We opened for the Rolling Stones and parted with them after the concert. They were that good as a rock band. He said, Christian young people would come up to us after we gave a Christian concert and not ask them about the gospel, how God changed their life. Ask them, what was it like to party with the Rolling Stones? Wow, you must have had a good time. And he said, I would look at them. I said, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? If you start hanging out with God, you'll never want to hang out with the Rolling Stones. You'll never want to party like the world. I found what I was looking for, and I don't find it in the party with the world. I found it in the kingdom of God. Maranatha. It's not just a Maranatha thing. They're linked. When he comes to judge the earth, and all of them that love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be anathema, Maranatha. In the same breath, come, Lord Jesus. Got to finish with this, but this is important because there are people in church this morning on their way to hell, but you're in a church that will tell you it's not too late to change lanes. Amen. Can you say, God allows for U-turns? Amen. Say it with me, God allows for U-turns. Oh, Brother Venable, I don't think I can live that goody-two-shoes life. Congratulations, neither can I. And I'm not a goody-two-shoes. I'm just a saved man. Hallelujah. Glory to God that doesn't have an addiction that is driving me and making me do things that I would never do if I was sober. Thank God he set me free from alcohol. Thank God he set me free from Benzedrine. Thank God he set me free from spiritual blindness and bondage. Thank God I am free. Free, free, free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Y'all don't own that song. All of us that get saved of all colors own that song. Hallelujah. Glory. Set your affections on things above and not the things of the earth.
You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
You're dead. And you're, as far as God is concerned, that old man, you're buried with him. You're raised with him.
Yeah.
And your life is hid
with Christ in God.
With God in God. Christ in God. Last week's interpretation, I saw that online. Come out and come in where I can keep you safe. Come in for what? Is it not written, I will hide you in my pavilion? Is it not written, saith the Lord, that I will hide you? When the wrath is poured out, you will be hidden in Christ in God. You will be hidden in Christ in God. Yea, saith the Lord, I will hide you, keep you safe from the wrath to come. You will never be anathema. You will always be Maranatha, for you are mine and I am yours, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come in. Come into the kingdom of God. How do you do that? Will to confess your sin, receive Christ. You're translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're no longer under Satan's rule. You're under God's rule. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And he's the best king you'll ever serve.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen? Glory to God. Well, I feel like preaching now. It's time to go home.
Hallelujah.
How many want to go to heaven when you draw your last breath?
Amen.
Can I, as we pray in the name of Jesus for the family that just lost an 18-year-old daughter. born with a lot of health conditions, and now is gone. 18 years. How old are you guys? I'm not trying to mess with you.
12 and 21.
And you're
12.
You
don't look 12, does he?
Wow. Are you serious? 12? You're not 12? Lord, I charge you to get on any ride anywhere. No discount for you, buddy. No, sir. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm glad to meet you today. God bless you. You're 20 years old, 21. I'm going to tell you, mainly to you. You know why the Army wants 18-year-olds as a prime, between 18 and 20-something? Because you feel like you're too young to die. Yeah. That old sergeant in Vietnam, hugging the bottom of the foxhole, not standing up, where some kid with an AK shoots him to death. He knows better. He knows anybody can die at any time. No Superman. No guarantee of tomorrow. But when you're 18, 21, can't happen to me. I got my whole life in front of me. You're one heartbeat away from eternity. Everybody in here, that heart stops, it's done.
Amen.
And you don't need a bullet to stop it, or cancer to stop it, or a disease to stop it. A vein burst in your cranium, in your head, it's called an aneurysm. It burst, you drop. That quick. But it's not over. You go somewhere. And you go there forever. God wants you in heaven with Him. I said, God wants you in heaven with Him. Thank God He didn't let me keep going on the road. AC/DC, I grew up part of the rock scene. Meant they went both ways, CDC and Lord. What CDC got out there now? That was kind of simple to figure out, you know. One comedian my age said, "He said I thought number, I'm not even going to go there. That's getting off target. But I want you to go home happy today, if you're a Christian, because you're Maranatha. You're Maranatha. You're Maranatha. But if you don't know the Lord, come to know Him. He'll give you a heart that will love Him. He don't expect you, oh, I just love Jesus all of a sudden. No, He will cause you to care for Him, because you'll begin to appreciate what He's done for you. And you'll just love Him back for loving you. I've been loving Him back for all of these years. My next birthday, I'm going to be, how old do you think I am? I know I'm old, but
79.
Good and gracious.
Man, you should join the circus and guess people's age. You think I'm 79? You're right.
Yes.
That hurt, brother. It's got me right here. You're good. I was going to ask you back to church. I thought he was going to say 59. I thought, my man. No fist bump. No, I'm kidding. God bless you. You got it just right. You're a good judge of old folks. Hallelujah. Amen. I want y'all to come back to church. We have a good time. We talk about some serious stuff, but we have a good time. Amen. He's coming to judge the world. And here's what Jesus told those people that were Maranatha people. I know where you're living, where Satan's seat is, his headquarters. The persecution is heavy. Some of you, Jesus said, will go to prison and be put into jail. some of you will be put to death for my name's sake, for the faith. And what was his consolation to them? Church will not prepare anyone for that kind of decision, because it's all about this world. It's all about time, not eternity. He said, be thou faithful unto death. And I'll give you the crown of life. You'll live forever. When did the faith become only something that has value? If we can get something in the material world and in time to satisfy our flesh. And why do so many Christians follow that phony, shallow faith? Because you sure don't have to love Jesus for him to make you rich. You don't have to love Jesus for him to heal you of everything you've ever had, to make you the CEO of the company, to give you gold and silver. What about those people? What about the thousands in Nigeria this morning that are being slaughtered while we sit here with the privilege of serving him? But many just don't have the heart to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Thousands in Nigeria alone, not worldwide, globally. If any man love not, you better check your heart. What place does Jesus have in your heart? You're anathema or you're Maranatha? Let me close with the Maranatha. Why? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because those martyrs from the beginning of the church age that Christ established, they are very close proximity to God. Underneath his throne, not as something to dishonor them, but to highly honor them, just in the throne room of God himself, there are voices crying. You want to know what they're crying? How long, O Lord? We died for the faith. How long, O Lord, before you avenge our blood upon the inhabitants of the earth that have rejected your Son and killed those who loved your Son? How long? Are they wanting vengeance? No, he said, vengeance is mine. You know what they want? They want justice. They want justice. Somebody kills your little girl. Do you want vengeance? No, you want justice. There should be a consequence for that kind of crime. And you know what God says to them? He said, just a little while longer, until your brethren, your brothers and sisters in the faith, until they are martyred like you were, and they join you. Then, and you know what happens when that many Christians are killed for the faith? The cup of his indignation is filling up. And when it is full, he said, that's called the tribulation, wrath without mercy. I'll pour it out upon the inhabitants of the earth. And they're going to have to drink the last drop. What does that mean, Brother Venable? It means what the scripture said. The time will come when they see him, and they have to answer to him as their judge and not their Savior. The Bible said they will cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him who sits upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? No one can stand facing him as their judge. Who can stand? The Maranatha people. The people who have gladly accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Because we're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. What's going to fill up that cup and pour out to the last dregs? Let me finish that in the book of Revelation. They'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them. Crush us. But we can't look at the face of Him who's sitting on that throne as our judge. And I cannot look at the wrath of the Lamb. His hair is full. His eyes are a flame of fire. He's not coming to save. He's coming to judge the earth and the wicked. And in many churches, it's as if it's not even going to happen. But biblically, prophetically, it is going to happen. And not only that, you're talking about making them drink the last dregs. They can't escape the pain, the terror of the tribulation. They will try. They want to be crushed by the mountain. Die, rather. But see, they're not looking at the hereafter. They're past caring about eternity. They only live for time. They will seek death. Try to kill themselves. Boom! There's a hole in your head, but you're not dead. Death will flee from them. Can't get out of that judgment time. I'm not just talking about hell forever, eternity. That's after that. But during that, you can't die when you want to die, to get out of it. That's why he said, come out. Come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her plagues. And come in. Come into the kingdom of God, where I can keep you safe from the wrath to come. The message out there today is carnal.
Yes, sir.
It's the wisdom of the world. The Bible said they mind earthly things. You don't hear about heaven. You don't hear about hell. You don't hear about demons. You don't hear any of that. Because it's an earthbound church. And if you keep compromising with the world loves and embraces his own, you will be condemned with the world. Come out of Babylon, spiritual Babylon, lest you be a partaker of her plagues. So you've got a choice to make today. I've made mine. I love that old song, "The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago."
Amen.
I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm going to ask you to be honest in your heart. Has the account been settled by applying the shed blood of Jesus, repenting of sin and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior? Is it settled? If you died before you got home in a, God forbid, but if you died in a car crash, where would you spend eternity? That's an important decision. It's an appointment we're going to make, keep one day, whether it's today or next week, you're going to keep it. Hallelujah. And to them that look, he shall appear. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come and judge the wicked, and come and take your bride home. Because both are going to occur simultaneously. Hallelujah. Because he's coming soon. How many are heaven bound today? Just let me say, you can show me that. We got one song before we leave here today. Right here, brother. One day when we all get to heaven. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. More than I want you to come and give, more than I want you to come to church, more than I want your fellowship, more than I want you to care about me and my family or give, I want to see you in heaven. More than I want to see you come back to church, I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you in heaven more than I want you to be my friend.
Amen.
More than I want you to applaud me or love me. I want to see you in heaven. Amen. Oh, yes, you're 88 years old, but I still want to, it's not too late to go back, but I know you're not going back. But brother, I want to see you in heaven.
Amen.
It's not just young people. We all have to keep making that choice.
On,
hallelujah. I want to see you in heaven.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to see you in heaven. I want to see you in heaven. Is that okay?
Amen.
Oh, yeah it is. Give me a fist bump. Hallelujah. We used to sing about it. The heaven-bound church are seeking those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And they've set their affections on not just the city, but He who saved us sitting on the right hand of God. They loved Jesus and anticipated His coming. And verse 5 says, and they mortify their members upon the earth. They're willing to crucify the flesh with the lust thereof to have the joy and peace and assurance of heaven and Him with us until we go to heaven. There's nothing like it. No drug. No drink. No person to take His place.
Amen.